Ready?
1 second.
It's recording.
It's recording.
Good evening, seasonal greetings, and welcome to episode 18 of Unforced Errors. Two old guys talking about tennis and saying the things the TV commentators don't dare say. In this week's podcast, we read out messages from our listeners, discuss the surprising tennis results from November, look back at the craziness of 2020. I'm joined by Sir David Radina.
That was a good one, man.
Question from a listener, James Turner of Brighton. Was it a changing of the guard at the ATP finals?
What a great start for this show, because that's exactly what is happening. Wouldn't you say so? Okay, wait. I'm getting overexcited because they are still not the Grand Slams, isn't it? In a way, Team did that when Djokovic got defaulted. There was no Nadal, no Federer. So we can start with what happened in the last couple of tournaments. Someone took over. There's two players we can talk about. What do you think about Team and what Medvedev is doing? And is the changing of a guard really happening, in your opinion?
Well said. Yes, it kind of happened at the US Open, but cynics amongst us, maybe I'm a little bit cynical, would say Team won that when Djokovic exploded himself and didn't reach the final. Mm-hmm. There was no Rafa Nadal. He was getting ready for his 23rd French Open victory or however many. Federer is, doing his star jumps and trying to get fit again. But the ATP finals, there was Nadal, there was Djokovic,
yes.
And yet neither of those played in the final.
Neither. And both of them got whooped twice by two great new players out there. I know that Team is a little bit delayed. He's already late 20s.
He's 27.
Exactly. And even Medvedev is 23.
24.
Which is, okay, they're starting now, but they're a little bit delayed because we're used to those Boris Beckers and Sampras and
Nadals. Well, they've had some people standing in their way, haven't they? So maybe that's the late developments.
Yes. I heard a very nice comment from, who was it? He said that the big legacy of the top three, of course he called it top four, no, but he said five. He also mentioned Wawrinka. He said maybe what they've done most special is that they're playing long enough to help this new generation become even better.
Yes, it must be that way that, it's so hard to break up the top three, the top four, the top five, whatever you wish to call it, that you have to improve even more. It must be demoralizing for someone. They must have fallen by the wayside and thought, what's the point of reaching the semi-final or the quarter-final if I'm going to get smashed by one of these masters?
Yeah.
But we've got two players now, Dominic Thiem and Daniil Medvedev, who have broken into the magic circle, haven't they?
They have.
And they've beaten the masters, but I still see them a bit as the sorcerer's apprentice. They've beaten them over the best of three sets.
Yeah.
But you know, they really need to win the Grand Slam when the Masters are there.
He has to happen.
Thiem failed to do in the French Open. He did do it in the US Open. I'm going to be one of these ones who's a bit doubtful of whether they can do it for sure. I'm sure Medvedev can win a Grand Slam title.
Definitely.
He's not going to bottle it, is he?
You know, no.
He's got the devil in him. He's Medvedev. That's what I call him.
Good
but
one.
But he's still got a way to go. But the signs are there, you know. They earned their place in the final. They played well. Getting back to James Turner's original question, a changing of the guard, I think they've won some major skirmishes now. But the war is yet to come when Federer comes back. When Nadal and Djokovic, they'll be smarting from losing in the ATP. They'll be desperate next Grand Slam, which is the Australian Open, to right that and hold them off at least until the Olympics, whenever that happens.
Yes, it's quite astonishing what finally Medvedev and Thiem are willing to do. Because to me, the reason why these two are breaking the top players and reaching top rankings is exactly because they have that ingredient that we haven't seen for a long time in all the new players, which is the will to win. They have it. Team is becoming some sort of new version of a Nadal player. Very strong, very top spinny, more aggressive. And then Medvedev is a little bit different, isn't it? The more I watch Medvedev, the more I feel the special that he has in him.
You're struggling to compare him to anyone else, aren't
it's
you?
It's very difficult, isn't
Medvedev
it?
Medvedev is Medvedev.
He's Medvedev. And even his game style, isn't it, Jim, is just so unorthodox. It's like he doesn't have the technique, but the shots keep going in.
You think sometimes when he plays a backhand, well, his racket's at a strange angle. That's awkward. That's going in the tram lines.
Yes.
And it just, you know, scoots past the opponent at a very cute angle. That backhand is something else, isn't it? We're going to be talking about that for years to come. I think with Thiem, my worry is there are still signs of mental frailty.
There is.
I would say in the US Open final, when I thought he was injured, but he said afterwards his legs went because he was so nervous for the first two sets. Well, he turned it round, absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Nadal would have got into that situation of being two sets down. Also in the French Open, where if you're being really harsh on Thiem, but we can be harsh on him because he's such a great player and we want him to be one of the greats as well.
Yeah.
You would say in the French Open, he was a bit satisfied with the quarterfinal, losing to his friend. It was a bit pally at the net at the end, which is lovely to see with Schwartzman. But God, you had a chance. Hindsight's wonderful, but you were maybe the one who could have given Nadal a run for his money at the French instead of Djokovic. So those are the doubts over Thiem. Over Medvedev, because you're a big fan of Medvedev. You're in Club Med, really. Mm-hmm. You're Club Medvedev.
Definitely.
Any doubts about him?
Yes, I'm a mega Medvedev fan. For so many reasons, I could go on forever. But first of all, he caught the world's eyes when he went against the whole crowd of the US Open in 2018, he kind of said, hey, you guys don't like me. Fuck you. I don't care. I am who I am, being himself. And someone that has that will to be himself can conquer great things. And then his game style is just, he will not accept defeat. He will not go down without a fight. Świątek has that in her as well. They have this power inside themselves that is the power that I'm used to in Nadal, Djokovic and Federer. So Medvedev is definitely the one that gives me hope than anybody else, including Thiem.
Well, yes, good points. I think we should ask Rafa Nadal if we could. I thought during the semi-final at the O2, was it the semi-final? It was Medvedev and Nadal. I thought at times Nadal looked like he was going to give up, and you never see that from Nadal. I thought, is he injured or is he just so despondent?
It was weird.
Medvedev can just put this feeling of defeat in your blood, it seems. He'll seem quite ordinary, and then he'll go on a 4 or 5 game stint where he is
madness.
He's just hitting the lines, and you think that's luck. And then after 3 games of him doing that, well, it's not luck.
Yes.
He goes on these runs, which wins the set. And you think, how did he lose the last set? He's playing so well now.
It's crazy. And he had to come back twice in the semis and in the final from a set down. And he's not a very good volleyer. Loses the first set against Nadal. He goes, okay, it's not working. I'm going to recalculate my strategy. Came to the net hundreds of times.
As he did in the US Open final.
Suddenly, this was the
first time we were seeing him volleying well.
So this guy, he's thinking, calculating every moment of the match, and he's not scared to switch his plan up completely if he needs to do it to beat his opponent.
I think you've hit the nail on the head in that he's not afraid of ridicule. He's not afraid if the crowd is booing him. He rather enjoys it.
Exactly.
He's not afraid if people say, hey, he's not celebrating. He's just won £1 million tournament and he's going up to the net as if he's won a goldfish at a fair.
That was
so
weird,
he's not
man.
Scared of ridicule in that way. So he's not scared of looking stupid in a few points by taking a risk and going to the net and just making his opponent think, what's he going to do the next point? I wasn't figuring on him doing that point. So I'm a bit nervous about my next shot because I don't know where he's going to be on the court.
Yes, exactly. It's something strange. All the players, even Nadal's and Djokovic and Federer's, they won their first O2 and they went to the floor or were very emotional. Medvedev walked to the not like he just had breakfast and he's about to start the day. I don't know. It was something that I have only Świątek did that after winning her first Grand Slam.
He's the perfect winner for lockdown because there's no crowd in there too. So would it not look a bit stupid? He would have done it if it was packed to the rafters.
It would be the same.
And people standing up by the court. He is the perfect champion for lockdown.
Yes, and he wins O2 finals. As we watch that picture, if you guys want to check, go check the picture that shows the winning celebrations of the last four O2s finals. It was Dimitrov, Zverev, Tsitsipas, and then Medvedev. He won, and then he was thinking, okay, so what's next?
So that is my note of caution. You brought this up yourself. If you look at the past four winners, you mentioned, was it Zverev?
Dimitrov,
Zverev, Tsitsipas. They haven't really gone on, have they? So will the curse of the O2 strike again with Medvedev?
Exactly.
I'm sure his lack of celebration points maybe to the fact that he knows that himself. It's great to win, but this isn't a Grand Slam.
Then this is not the end, exactly.
So cautious optimism. I'd love it if they took over. I think I like both of them. They're very different characters. Medvedev, very spiky. You know, there's lots of YouTube footage out there having conversations with opponents at the turnaround. You sent me one of him having a conversation with Schwartzman the other day.
Yes, what a great conversation that was.
Yeah, tell me what Schwartzman said.
He said at the end, you're a great player, but you have to...
Change. Yes.
And Medvedev told this story just a few weeks ago on a press conference. He said... When they were teenagers, team beat him badly and at the end told him that he had to grow up and become more calm.
Helpful advice or kind of taunting.
From Schwartzman and him.
Yeah, so there's a pattern there, isn't there?
Yes.
I read today that Tsitsipas, I think in 2019, said that after he lost to Medvedev, he's got a boring style of play. So I don't think there's any love lost between them. I personally don't think he has got a boring style of play.
Not even close.
No, but...
It's unpredictable.
Try telling that to the Greek lad. And he's a spiky one too. I like Tsitsipas.
I
think he'd be great for the game with his looks and his volatility. That's the word of the day. I think he'd be an interesting addition if they formed a new top three team, Medvedev and... Tits and ass.
So last question on this is, would you say because Medvedev is 24 and Tim is 27, they are not anymore the masters that will challenge the Grand Slam title numbers of the great three?
No, they're not. But they could have a lot of fun having their own battle. And because of the top five, the age of tennis players is being pushed back. This started with Sampras and Agassi.
True.
Rod Laver years before, you know, some of these champions go on to their mid-30s, maybe even with Federer until they're 40.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of time, not just to win some Grand Slams themselves, but maybe stop the generation below them reaching the levels of the Masters in terms of Grand Slam totals. How many people, great tennis players out there, will be able to win 20 Grand Slams?
I have hopes for Świątek to do it, 20-something Grand Slam.
I love that prediction. You actually, it wasn't a hope last episode, it was a prediction.
A prediction.
You think she will beat Serena Williams and Margaret Court.
Yes, she will. But on men, I don't know, man. We're too late. We were almost looking for a new guy, like a Sinner or something, isn't it? He's still very young, 18, 19, and has time to break that record.
Maybe they just can't beat the Masters record, so they'll have to look
for
new records to beat, maybe like the oldest Grand Slam champion.
Long
time off for Jack Sinner. He's still a young lad, or the one who can win the most Olympic titles. I think Andy Murray's won two.
So you're saying...
That's maybe beatable. So maybe they've got to look for their own records and forget about trying to get...
So you're saying these records of 20 Grand Slams or 20 whatever they're going to end up with is going to stay for a long time.
Yes, a
few
very long time. You know, these tennis masters, they're almost the first men on the moon, aren't they, in terms of how much they've dominated at the same time as each other. They've shared these eras. So what you do, you can't be the first man on the moon. What are you going to do? Go on the moon and do a handstand? No one's done that before. They'll have to look for their own kind of thing, won't they?
It's looking very difficult. But anyway, it's exciting. This ending of this year was great. And Medvedev said, I'm here, I won two in a row, I beat the best, And now I'm coming for the Australian Open. Although there's a certain man called Roger Federer has somehow miracle comebacks. And well, he might have something to say about it.
He might have a bit of extra time to do it because I've heard it's likely it's going to go back from later. January to February.
Okay.
Because of the quarantine rules. They're very strict in Victoria and Australia.
I see.
So they want the players to quarantine for 14 days. And by quarantining, it might well be that they can't play tennis during the quarantine when they come over to Australia, which a lot of players aren't happy about. They've been making noises about, well, should we play if we're... Is it the best way of preparing for a tournament, being in a hotel room, swinging your racket around a hotel room for 14 days?
Exactly.
You know, these are young people. They've got appetites and stuff. Will they be happy to be stuck in for 14 days?
And Federer will be fine. And then when he grabs his wand, he will come back to court and start doing magic.
But who do you think of the tennis players, male and female, have had a good year in 2020?
Djokovic had a weird year. He started so well, didn't he? Won the Australian Open and then seemed to be on fire in the US Open.
Hot favourite.
And then after that default, things just went astray a bit. And then he had the coronavirus tournament that he organised. I think the strangest year was definitely from Djokovic, but he's not going anywhere next year. Nadal had a good year. Definitely a good year, isn't it? Always winning his French. Sinner was probably the one that excited me more. It was the first time I really watched him play a lot closer, and I felt that the kid is not only young, but he has the firepower. It's just, and he is like a stone-cold Iceman, isn't he? How is he like that at 17 or 18 years old?
Exciting play, so maybe calm. A boring person. Is it harsh to say that so soon? It takes a while for someone's personality.
True.
But yeah, reminds me of Thomas Berdych in a way. Very exciting player, great.
One of the most boring ones.
But he's the one in the French Open. Very surprising Nadal beat him in three sets.
Very surprising.
So fair play to him. I think... Yes, as you said, the world's been upside down in 2020 and tennis is a reflection of that. But I think Djokovic, an amazing winning streak. We were talking about him going through a whole season unbeaten. And we weren't the only ones. Djokovic was talking about that being a great aim.
He was.
In the corona shortened season, it was more manageable going 40, 50 matches unbeaten.
True.
Wouldn't that have been a great achievement? Having said that, I think he's had a bad year. The corona thing, not great publicity. I felt a bit sorry for him. It was a noble intention. It was a humble apology, sincere apology. But the US Open, he handled that in a dignified way, but he was a hot favourite. What a great opportunity for him to snap at the heels of Nadal and Federer in terms of the Grand Slams. And then that went. And then the French Open... He did all the hard work to climb to that summit again. This is your big chance to beat Nadal at the French Open when Nadal is playing his best.
Yes.
I know he's beaten him before at the French Open, but he wasn't playing his best before. Mm-hmm. And it was just shocking to watch how one-sided it was. So that was very disappointing. Maybe a kind of moment where you think, I'm never going to beat this guy at the French Open. I might beat him on clay, but something about the air in Paris cannot beat him. Nadal... It's been a good season.
Yes.
His main priority was the French Open. He skipped the US Open. Shame there. And I have full admiration for players who played both the US Open and the French Open. But that was his main target. And he did it. He would have loved to have won the Tour End Finals. He's never won those.
Yeah.
But it's been a good year for Nadal and a disappointing one for Djokovic. And for Federer, not a bad year. You mentioned earlier about the rankings.
Yes, I don't know what's going on there. Do you know how the system works?
So Federer hasn't played for almost a year.
And still he's on the top
10? What ranking is he? You guess and I'll tell you.
He's 7 or 8.
He's 5.
He's 5, exactly.
And a suit from Germany and the German Tennis Federation says that as Federer's on the Players' Council, he's rigged it so that he'll still
Because
I think the rules are the clock stopped until August. Corona meant your ranking was frozen from March when Corona came around until August, and then the ranking point starts counting. And I think you take the best results from the last 18 months normally, but they've extended that to the last 22 months. So Federer's number five. The German bloke said he wouldn't be in the world top 50 if it wasn't for that. In fact, some very clever boffins from France calculated if the corona rules hadn't come in, he'd be world number 29 now instead of world number five.
Yeah.
So not a bad year for Federer. I do doubt, call me doubting Thomas, I know you'll disagree, David, can he come back yet again from a layoff, second lengthy layoff of his career? Can he do that and really come back and challenge Nadal and Djokovic? I doubt it.
It's a very, very tough ask. And not only, let's not forget there's Medvedev and team around as well. And all these youngsters that are great players. So the ladder for Federer to win another Grand Slam is massive. But then the guy performs miracles. I remember almost 7 years ago, in 2011, 9 years ago, the world was asking, what is happening to Federer? Shanking shots everywhere. Do you remember the press conference? Reporters were driving him crazy. There were bad moments there. And
did he change his rackets then, or was it later?
It was after, yes. Yeah. So he definitely thought about it. And he was down and out there. And
but
suddenly,
he won Wimbledon 2012, didn't he?
Yes.
And reached the Olympic final.
And two more Australians. And
well, that was another comeback entirely, wasn't
insane.
It? That was
so,
3 years ago, and he won the Australian Open twice
exactly,
in a row.
Exactly. So Federer can maybe bring something that we've never seen before. A 40-year-old Grand Slam winner.
Well, that would be just...
the guy can do it.
Yeah.
Somehow, because he has a magic
hand. That would give hope to old guys like me, definitely.
Yes.
But if he can't achieve that, I think the one major to elude him is the Olympic singles title.
True.
We don't know when the Olympics are going to be.
This
year,
probably.
But maybe he's hanging on for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be over three sets, I think. I'm not sure if the final's over. I think is the final over best of five? I think
three,
it is.
Last time I remember it was... five, yes.
Yeah, but the rounds are the best of three. And he's won the Olympic doubles, but not the singles. So maybe give that a go. I mean, yes, I think he's still the top-ranked Swiss, isn't he?
But as a Federer fan, would you prefer Federer to win the Olympics or another Grand Slam before he leaves?
That's a devil in the deep blue sea question. That is a great question. That is a moral dilemma. Like, you
it
know,
really
would you rather
is.
Lose an arm or a leg?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to attempt to answer this question. I would have to say, and I'm almost crying as I say it, I would have to say I'd rather him finish on top with the most number of Grand Slams.
I like that.
But if he doesn't...
I like that.
Yes, I choose that. But if he doesn't, what a consolation it would be to say that I've done the sweep. Because do you know how many
perfect.
Other people have done the sweep of winning every major title? The Olympics, the Tour End Finals, mm-hmm. and all four Grand Slams.
It was Agassi...
I think it's only Andre Agassi who has won all of them.
Our favourite player of
course,
all time.
Yes, of course, people like Rod Laver didn't get the opportunity because they didn't have the Olympic tennis. But I think Agassi is the only player who's done that. And Nadal has come very close to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he won the Tour End Finals, he would have, I don't know what you call it, the Super Six?
Everything.
The Super Six, is that what you call
yes.
it?
Yeah, that makes it. Nadal could be the guy to have it all, to be honest.
Yeah, Becker had
a few more
fair
pushes.
Start. Becker won the Olympics, the Tour End Finals.
Yeah.
But never won the French Open.
Yes.
So, yeah, there are people who've got five of the six, but I think Agassi is the only one. We'll check at the end of the show.
I like the way you put it. You prefer for the most Grand Slams, but has consolation, at least the Olympics. So, I've heard that... Since 1975 or 76, there hasn't been season-ending finals with six different winners in a row. And finally, we achieved it.
Well, yes, when it started out, you've called me the man from the past before, haven't you?
Yes.
Jim, he comes from
yeah,
the past.
Definitely.
So I'm stepping into my time machine now. Let's go back to the mists of time when I was just 30
young
years
lad.
Old. When it started 50 years ago, the ATP finals... Yeah, I think Nastasi won three in a row in the early days, and Stan mm-hmm. Smith won it. So, yeah, six different winners. The first ever winner of the ATP, Davidenko. But here's a question back at you. We've had, I think, Tour End Finals have been in London since 2009 when Davydenko won. Is that too long? Have they had? Do you think it was great that London had these Tour End finals for so long?
It was great for me because I live in England. But I do understand the need to change because it is a tournament that represents everyone. It's been so long that it almost benefits the players that, like, it did not benefit Nadal, for example. And we know it.
Indoors, and the surface as well.
Hard court. Yeah. So, in a way, I think this tournament should definitely vary more and not stay for so long in the same place.
Every year or every...
Every five, maybe. Every 5 years for the rest of eternity.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you have this phrase, a five-year plan. I've got a five-year plan. Mm-hmm. So 5 years is good. An Olympic cycle is 4 years. So that wouldn't be bad either.
4 years. That sounds good. So let's go with even numbers. 4 years is good.
My idea, I think we had this on a rule change a few episodes ago, was for the winner to choose where it is the next year. So maybe the winner, if he lives in the big country, would actually go, say if it was Andy Murray, would say, okay, I'm going to bring it to Scotland or to London.
Yes.
If you were someone like Djokovic and you couldn't get a big enough venue in Serbia,
you'd have to choose another country.
As he has done in the past, let's expand it in Asia. He's spoken out about London having it for so long. He says, I love London, but London has Wimbledon as well. Let's spread it out. And I think he's got a good point, Djokovic. I think over 10 years is unfair to a country which already has Wimbledon.
Yes, it's too much.
They should put us in charge of tennis.
Oh, definitely.
I think these ideas...
These guys don't understand anything, man.
You know?
They need to think outside the box.
They should look at the back of the cigarette pack I write these ideas down on and just learn a few things.
So... tell me 3 to 5 things that stood out this year of 2020 in tennis for you.
All right. I say number one, Medvedev, a continuation of his otherness, not celebrating titles. I say number two, I always follow Kyrgios. I always listen to what he has to say.
We're always waiting for him.
I think he's spoken some good sense, you know, over the year, and I always follow him, and I really hope that he wins something this year. I'm going to miss out Swiatek because I think you're going to mention her.
Sure,
but that was great
good.
To see her in a kind of French Foreign Legion close winning that. And then the third thing I would say is the little match we had, our grass court match, wearing vintage clothes. I know that's a really, really selfish thing to slip in there, but it was so nice to play on a grass court wearing old tennis clothes with wooden tennis rackets.
And balls from the 70s.
Exactly. And it just took me back in time. Those are my
three
things.
And we have videos, by the way. One day we'll put it online.
I would love to see that. What about yourself?
Two bozos playing tennis.
People were stopping what they were doing and watching, weren't
they? They were watching.
It was like a car crash. They just couldn't take their eyes off
us. They couldn't. And
what about your three things?
Flying for volleys.
Well,
man.
If I had a fourth thing, it would be seeing you fall over on the grass like a.
I can't believe how spongy
horse.
It is. Yes, it was a great moment. Guys, just for you to know, me and Jim went back in time.
We did. And next year, it'll be even better.
We'll
hold
it
once
better.
A year.
I like your. They're good points. Definitely, Świątek is the number one for me, probably, because I've been waiting for a girl, tennis player, that. Shows signs of domination. The way she won that French
without
Open,
a set being dropped with,
and destroying
same
everybody.
As Nadal.
Same as Nadal.
Yeah.
So that gives me hope. Another thing that really stuck to my mind, it was the way that Nadal beat Djokovic at the final of the French Open. I've seen Nadal devoted to matches before, but I've never seen him like that. There was something in him that day that was never going to lose. He could play 2 Djokovic's and he would still not lose. He was one of the best performers I've ever seen Nadal do. So that was impressive. Medvedev, this ending of the year is probably my third. I hope that this means something and that it changes. I'm excited about 2021.
Yes, it has to get better with the vaccination. I don't know whether people like Djokovic will take it. We don't know. But hopefully that will open up things. As Dan Evans said, kind of near the start of lockdown with tennis, with the US Open, really, he said, this could be an iconic US Open. We could remember this because it would be so different. Normally, you've got people in the crowd. you know, during match points in the match, ordering a hamburger loudly.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different this year. You had the players, one of the few spectators in the crowd, eating a hamburger.
That was great.
So we'll remember it. And hey, I know the crowd weren't there, but I would say Zverev versus team, I watched it. I was engaged. Oh, it was tense. These were two players, which I love in the Grand Slam final, who'd never won a Grand Slam final before.
That was special.
Team had been in the Grand Slam final, yes. So he really wanted it too much at times.
I haven't watched a final like that in a long time. I wasn't sure who was going to win. Impossible.
I really, really wasn't.
Every time somebody had a break, the next game, it was the counter. Complete reverse. And it was like that all match long.
And you know, we mentioned our top three memorable moments.
Yes.
Was it top three memorable moments?
Yes.
We didn't mention Djokovic and the line judge.
I think we'll both regret it, which was amazing.
And you kind of watch matches quite far behind because you're so busy playing tennis yourself. But I was in that dilemma because David doesn't like to know the results. But I thought, yes, I've seen this. I happened to turn on the TV to see Djokovic in a hot discussion at the net,
yes,
with the umpire, with hand gestures like he was an Italian traffic policeman. And I thought, do I say to David, you really need to turn on live now, or do I let him catch up? Or do I say to him,
exactly,
look, if you're going to watch it, don't fast forward. Watch,
yes,
everything.
You actually sent me a good message. It was like, there's something interesting going on. And I immediately thought, oh my God, of course it's Djokovic that is losing. And it was far from it. Yes, it was Djokovic losing.
He was losing,
but
yes,
not in the way that I thought. It was not a spoil. It was.
Can you remember, when you were watching it, did you kind of realize what was going on? How soon did you realize that could be a disqualification?
Yeah, I didn't believe it was going to be a disqualification. It sounded surreal that it was. It was a bit of a surreal moment. But then I saw her on the floor. It looked dramatic. And only when they said no, then I believed it.
I think it's an incident which almost sums up the whole corona debate in a way in the world, really. There are rules, aren't there? There were rules about disqualification. If you hit a ball in anger,
yes,
you are disqualified. So how closely do you stick to the rules? And it's the same with lockdown. How closely do you stick to those things, or
true,
say, I'm going to apply common sense and ignore the rules, as some people were saying, this is a big match. This is Djokovic. You can't disqualify him.
True.
So I think it is a kind of thing which almost, even as a non-tennis fan, if you are one, it's an interesting dilemma which kind of sums up the whole dilemmas people have been facing during lockdown.
Definitely, yes. And normally I'm the supporter of the common sense above the rules, because some rules are becoming so strange and so illogical.
So let me ask you this, David. Mm-hmm. Have you, because I think at the time you said he shouldn't have been disqualified, have you changed your mind about that?
No. I think that he was well disqualified. The rules are the rules. Doesn't matter who it is. But I do suggest that for the future they think of changing the rules. It has to be more of what is the gravity of the situation, how injured is the person. But that's also very variable, isn't it? Sometimes they would have to go to the hospital to really know what really happened there. So yes, maybe the rules were right. I just hope they were not so harsh. My suggestion was losing of numbers of games, isn't it? Like 6 games or 4 games or 7 games, depending on how the attack was.
Yeah, the lady in question did go to hospital, didn't she? So I suppose if you need medical treatment,
then
to kind
it
of
makes
leave
sense.
The arena, then yeah, probably I think disqualification was the right thing. I think Djokovic's apology was sincere. These mm-hmm. things do happen. I've just remembered it happened to me when I was at school, actually. I think I think I hit a ball. It wasn't even in anger, but it hit someone on the head. And it was like the tennis coach was like, you know, this is awful. And I got into real trouble with it.
Oh, my God.
I was just basically hitting the ball back so the other person could serve, and mm-hmm. it hit them on the head. You've got to be very careful.
Especially in the official tournament with official rules.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he was well disqualified, but definitely shocking and strange. But I guess Djokovic learned his lesson. And he almost hit somebody else in another tournament afterwards. But
he did. It's been, you know, you sent me a YouTube clip the other night about kind of, was it kind of famous bust-ups in tennis
yes,
matches?
Yes.
Or, yeah, even walkouts. And the same people appeared in the clips in different matches. Yes. And Djokovic appeared in quite a few, didn't he? Kyrgios appeared in a few.
Yep.
It was Medvedev. The same players. Medvedev, yes. So there's a pattern there, isn't there?
Yes.
But hey, you know, that goes with passion, doesn't it?
Yes. And I like that. I like players that are a little bit outside the box and they create some heat. I like that.
I think Djokovic, whenever he comes home from work and his wife goes, "How was your day at work, love?" He's always got an interesting tale to tell, hasn't he?
Always. So well done to them. So what do you hope for 2021?
Okay, New Year's resolutions for the tennis world.
Okay, so what does that mean?
I hope that I think the tennis world is quite divided at the moment in terms
of
politically, with kind of like, you know, shall we go with this union or that union? And I think the vaccination thing could be a bit of an issue, at least with one player. We keep on talking about Djokovic. We can't get away from him.
It's true.
But well, this is interesting, really, your views on vaccination as well. But in terms of if Djokovic doesn't take the vaccination, you know, how will other players feel? Like Andy Murray has said, well, you know, maybe I'm wrong here. We'll have to check out with the lawyers. But, you know, he might have suggested if you don't take the vaccination, you can't take part in tournaments, really.
Yes. In America, they're doing passports now.
Yes.
Passports,
yeah.
And you have to have the vaccine to travel, so...
So this could be an issue, but my wish for the tennis world is the same as my wish for the world in itself, is that, you know, this kind of corona, we get on top of it so that people can start attending matches, people can start shaking hands at the net without worrying about spreading it,
True. That
we can get back to normal and do the things we love with the people we love. And just carry on with the things we're passionate about. You know, we can conduct our hobbies that we care passionately about without worrying about our life.
I like that. I'll add something to what you said, which is somehow, if there's positives coming out from this corona business, is maybe the fact that people learn or relearn or are remembered how we need each other and we want to be close. We don't want to be apart. I hope that it's definitely a better year. But what I want for next year is one simple thing. I want Medvedev to destroy everyone.
I would not be unhappy with that.
Everyone, literally everyone, our great Federer.
Let me throw in the personal selfish
Everybody.
Thing too.
For all Go
us,
for it.
For all us players who aren't Medvedev and aren't as good as you as well, I just hope we can play on public courts again without them being taken down. It's very sad to see public
True.
Courts with the posts still up, but the nets down,
yes.
and people walking their dog or doing personal fitness 1 meter away, whereas us tennis players, a lot of us are baseliners, you know, 12 feet apart, not allowed to play against each other. I hope we can play tennis, and I hope everyone in the world, regardless of whether you love tennis, is able to go about their business. Sports, and it's just a shame during lockdown that it's been banned, same with golf as well, and yet other things, you can have a coffee in a cafe very close up to each
yes,
other.
Yes, so, there's common sense down the toilet.
So that's a selfish wish. That's what I hope.
Like that. And what is this? Do you hear that music? Is that a party, Jim? Is that a dance party? Hey.
I hear it coming through.
I think we should go. I'm up for dancing for a
is
bit.
Is it next door? Should we ring the doorbell?
Let's ring the bell. It's.
They won't mind.
They must have.
It's
they must
lockdown's
be having...
been relaxed now.
No problem. Shall we go? Let's go.
I think so. You
Let's
got your rackets.
I got my rackets.
And your balls.
In my balls.
Grab your balls.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.